All right. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going through the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 1. You can go ahead if you can stand. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk, what's it say? Worthy. That you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. You can be seated. Raise your hand real high if you think that you're pretty right about what you think about the Bible. No, it's just, do you think? I mean, I don't think you should be prideful about it, but the facts are the facts. How many of you think you're right about your interpretation of Scripture? Raise your hand. All right, if you don't have your hand up, I need to help you. Because when you search the Scripture, you search them because in them you think you have eternal life. If I didn't believe what I was holding to be true, I would get rid of it. Right? There's no reason to hold on to something that you're like, well, I don't know if this is right or wrong. This is of the utmost importance. How many people think there will be Baptists in heaven? Raise your hand. Methodist? Presbyterians, let's see, give me some more. Mormons. What in the world's wrong? Hands down. Okay. That was actually funny. No. It's actually awful if you think about it. It's really awful. But you kept your hand up, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, right? I could go through all of the Christian denominations, and you believe that there is somebody that calls themselves that franchise that's going to make it into heaven, right? And so the reason we believe that is because there are basic Bible truths that get you into heaven. There are some things in Scripture that we can debate about. There's some things that I myself still debate within myself about. There's some things in there that are not debatable, right? And so as long as a person believes the truth and the gospel, they can be saved, no matter what franchise they say they're from. Some people sit in churches and call themselves a certain denomination, and they don't even know what that means. You ever met somebody like that? As a matter of fact, I heard a story of the pastor. He took out the book of the church doctrine, and he started reading the church's doctrine. And a man that had been in that church for 30-plus years, was a deacon in the church, got up and started walking out. The pastor said, where are you going? He said, I had no idea that's what we believe, because I don't believe any of that. And he left. And so there are people that are setting in denominations, but I want you to know something about the body of Christ. It's worldwide, and it's not bound by anything. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. All right, so we went through Ephesians. We're going through Romans in Sunday school. There is a reoccurring theme in Scripture, and it's this. God was good to you. Now do something in return. Will you agree with that? His goodness should be your life's motivation. What Jesus did for you should motivate everything you do. Because Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus rose again. He alone bought your salvation. He alone is worthy of your life, your worship, and everything that you can give him. Would you agree with that? All throughout Scripture, we love him because he first loved us. So because he loves us, we love him in return. Everything that we have is by and through the grace of an almighty God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. So you may think that you know more than your brother across the street, or you know more than, but I'm going to tell you this. If you do, you know it by the grace of God. The only way that you have been blessed is because God is gracious. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because I promise you, within yourself, you did not deserve what he gave you. You didn't work hard enough for it, and you never could. You didn't run fast enough for it, and you never could. You couldn't behave well enough for it, and you never could. But God, who is rich in mercy and his great love, wherewith he loved us. So that is our motivation all throughout Scripture. Paul says, I therefore. We understand the word therefore in Scripture. When you see it, what do you need to do? Find out what it's there for. It's there to tell us that something preceded it. And if you go back into the previous chapter, it doesn't seem that Paul is tying this in to what he said in chapter 3, but it seems like he's tying this in with everything he had said up to that point. And we understand that what he taught us in Ephesians is he has raised us up together to set together in heavenly places. He did that by his grace. Because he did that, Brandon, he said, I therefore, the prisoner, I need us to walk worthy of the calling, of the vocation. Let me say it like this. The only way you can walk worthy is because he made you worthy. And because he made you worthy, then you should walk worthy. You couldn't get worthy on your own, but because he made you worthy, that motivates you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith he called you. He calls me worthy, so I should walk worthy, right? But if you don't understand this, Christianity becomes a chore. It becomes a burden. If you don't understand this, you think that it's a list of laws and rules that you have to keep. But when you realize what he did for you and everything that he done you couldn't do on your own, then it motivates you to walk worthy. Amen? All right. Love is a motivator. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that? I got up a little bit after 4 o'clock this morning, and I didn't want to. I didn't. There's some mornings I wake up and I'm ready to go. This morning I went, why couldn't I be rich? But the reason I got up is not because I love my job, but it's because I love my wife. So my love for her motivates me to do things, to walk, right? There's no glamour in walking. Now, have you ever seen anybody pull up bleachers and gather around and watch people walk? I guess they do it now, that little speed walking thing they do. Have y'all seen them do that? I've used this illustration before. I'll use it again. Go out to the mall before the mall opens, and what do you see? You see walkers. And most of them are a little on the older side, right? Nobody pulls up bleachers out at the mall when Granny goes out there to walk. Nobody's saying, go, Granny, go, Granny, go, Granny, go. But she gets up every morning and she makes her way out there. And you know what she does? She walks. And she walks. You know why she walks? She walks because there's somebody that knows the condition of her heart. And they've told her to walk. And she knows that somebody is going to check the condition of her heart. So she walks. I want to tell you, the reason we should walk worthy is because there's somebody that knows the condition of our heart. And we need to walk worthy. We don't need anybody to clap for us, to cheer us on, to say, go, go, go. We know that he's worthy, so we walk worthy. It's not near as cool as the 100-yard dash or 100-meter dash or whatever it is now. I don't even know. Are we still on standard? Are we metric? What are we? So, yeah, it's metric. So, I mean, either way, when you're running, that blaze coming out of the starting line real fast, that's awesome. But, Granny, not that glamorous. So your walk with God isn't always glamorous, but it's about being faithful. Why? Because your heart is at stake. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. He tells us how to do that, Ian. Next verse. He says, with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering. I want you to raise your hand real high if a Christian has ever got on your nerves. You can put them down now. I'm going to say, absolutely. Have you ever got into an argument or a heated debate with a Christian? Raise your hand. Have you ever questioned another Christian's Christianity? But I didn't ask you to raise your hand. I'm putting... You know what this tells me in the kingdom of God? Even though we're Christians, there's going to be some friction. Amen? I want you to hear this because friction, even in the church, is going to happen. And this is what, and I'm telling you this to kind of get you ready because it's going to happen sooner or later. I think some people come to church and think there's never going to be any friction there. And so when it happens, they run away and they tell everybody, I'm never going back down there again, and people. And then we hear these sermons on church hurt. And they're like, oh, church hurt, church hurt, church hurt. I want to give a message on wimpy Christians. We're always wanting to coddle those that got hurt. Just grow up, man. You know what? It's going to happen at your job. It's going to happen at your family. You know what? You're going to get on your own nerves. So what are you going to do then? Move away? He said, he's telling us in these verses, if you could, Jacob, take me back up to verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness with long suffering. Why would we have to have long suffering if there's not suffering in the church? And not only, it's not short suffering, it's called long suffering. You know what that means? Suffering that is, yeah, long. You know what kind of suffering we want? Short suffering. We don't want long suffering. Listen to this word, forbearing one another. That means it's not always ice cream and cupcakes in the kingdom of God. He's telling us this because there's something more important than our isms. There's something that is more important than us getting our way or us being right. Let me go as far to say this. People make me worried, Perry, when they act like they're the only church that's going to heaven. I went to a church one time that had like 40, 50 people. And they were convinced they were the only ones going to heaven. The only ones in the whole world that were going to heaven. And I'm saying, you think that God don't have people on the other side? If there are people, this is funny, but if there are people on the other side of the country that want to go to heaven, they got to drive all the way down here? Because y'all are the only ones that are going? That's crazy. There's one body. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't just exist in four walls of a little church that holds on to one doctrine and thinks that they're the only ones that are right. The truth is, he's the only one that is right. And he didn't die for 40 people. He died for the sin of the whole world. We got people that think they are so right that if you don't believe everything like they believe down to the dot, you're not making it. That's a scary thing to hold on to. Because you know why that makes me scared? It's because there are things that Tracy doesn't agree with me on. She's wrong, but the point is, she doesn't agree, but I think she's still going to heaven. How do you get to this place where you can't walk in lowliness and meekness and with long suffering and forbearing one another in what? In love. In love. Listen to this. Endeavoring. Endeavoring doesn't sound like a relaxed word, does it? If you're going to be endeavoring, that means you're going to have to put forth some effort. Man, I want you to get this because I want you to know how important this subject is. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I want you to notice something. If a person has the Spirit of God in their life, they're saved. Can I say that again? He said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You must be born again. If a person has the Spirit of God dwelling in their life, they are saved. I want you to notice what happens. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Not create it. He's not asking us to create the unity of the Spirit. He's asking us to keep it. What does that mean? That means if you got the Spirit of God dwelling in you, I got the Spirit of God dwelling in me, it wants unity. We're not trying to create it. It's already been created by the Spirit when we became a new creation. Man, if we get this, this is going to help us. Because he says, endeavoring to keep that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm convinced there are some Christians, they don't want peace, they want war. Y'all get nervous? Some of y'all think I'm getting political? I've been around them before. You can't say nothing around some Christians. Brother Eddie, we was on a job site one day, and I asked this guy, I said, hey, how's your niece doing? Her nephew, I can't remember exactly which one it was. He said, doing good, man. We've been praying, and the doctors found it. They said they're going to be able to take care of it really quick, and everything's good. I said, man, I'm so glad they found it. There's a brother over there said, don't matter if they found it or not. God's in control. Okay, yeah. But they found it, and we prayed, and they found it. They found it. Doesn't even matter. Well, it kind of does. God's in control of it. It doesn't matter what those doctors think. Well, break your arm then. Break your arm and go find you. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. Find you somebody that can set it and get you some relief, and you're going to say thank you. No, it doesn't even matter. God made that arm. God uses people. Let me say that again. God uses people to bless people. That's the only way he works is through people. If you're going to get saved, you know how you're going to get saved? You're going to hear preaching. Because God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them. You know he uses to preach? People. If somebody's going to lay hands on you and you're going to get a blessing, you know how you got that blessing? God uses people. The enemy, Perry, wants to bring division among us so that we can't bless each other with the Spirit that's dwelling in us, and then we all miss out. Man, I wish I had that video of old, that guy you showed me that time, Brother Eddie. He's asking this guy about what kind of church he goes to. And man, it's a long list. He goes on and on and on, and they're lining up on everything. He's like, Baptist North Great Lakes region or this region? He goes, Great Lakes region. And he keeps going through and through and through and through. And they line up on everything. And at the very end, he asks him one thing, and he's off. And he says, die, heretic. They lined up forever. And there are people that will separate on the smallest thing. And what it does is it breaks the unity of the Spirit. But I tell you right now, I was right. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How important is the unity of the Spirit? That we should keep it. I'm going to tell you how important it is. Let's go to Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. I want to read y'all this. If you don't know this is in your Bible, this may shock you a little bit. Proverbs 6 and 16. These six things doth the Lord. What does he do? These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. I just want to serve notice on you. It's notice to you that there are things that God dislikes. The Bible says hates. And there are some things that are an abomination to him. So despite the message of the day, God doesn't just wink at whatever we're doing and he's just my homeboy in the sky. He's God. And he's holy. I want you to listen to these things. 17. A what? A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that. Next verse. A heart that. Wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running into. Next verse. A false witness that speaketh. And he that. God hates those things. You know why he hates those things, Jennifer? Because none of them line up with him. You can't be proud. Why can't you have a proud look? Because everything you got from him. You can have a thankful look, but you can't have a proud look. You can be blessed, but you can't be proud. Because within you dwelleth no good thing until he came in to you. And then when he came into you, you got it. Now once you got it, endeavor to keep the unity of it. Some people just like to argue. Some people just like to fight. Some people just like to sow discord among the brethren. God hates it. Why? Because it's good and it's pleasant for the brethren to dwell together in. Man, if we could get this, Sam, if we really could get this, this little room right here with this group of people could become a powerful force in this area. Unity. Unity. But you know what we do? We're always second-guessing everything. We're always questioning everything. We're always wondering. Listen, the Bible's the Bible. It's got it laid out, right? Why do we question what Scripture says? Well, I don't know about that. Well, I don't know about that. I remember one time this girl was telling me she didn't believe this, and I don't believe. And I said, have you read the Bible? Well, no, but how? How are you going to tell me how God feels if you don't read his word? How are you going to come to the conclusion what God sees is right and wrong if you never read what he said about what's right and wrong? But I'm going to tell you what we do. We go by these feelings, but there's a God who wrote a book that told us exactly how he felt. And now that we know how he feels, we got to come in alignment with his spirit and walk in it. Am I making sense? Are you bored yet? Because what he's going to try to do is get between me and you. You and me. Us. You and I. He's going to try to find something to wedge between us. You know what? Sometimes you get mad at people because you think they're mad at you, and you don't even know if they're mad at you. Am I right? Well, I don't know what his problem is. I don't know what his deal is. I know that sometimes I don't get to shake your hand, and some people say, well, you didn't even shake my hand. And I know you're joking, but I know some people are serious. And you know why they're thinking that? Because the devil's telling them, well, looky there. He don't even like you. He don't even notice you're here. He don't even care. And here I am, just came in from work, trying to find my way, wondering how my hair looks. And it's like, I love you, but at that moment, you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to cause a problem. And then you're going to wonder. And instead of asking me, you're going to talk about me. Preacher, I am right now, man. I'm in here. If you're a visitor here, I'm sorry it's not normally like this, but tonight it's like this. Because unity is important in the kingdom of God. Because the spirit flows through unity. The devil works in division. A house divided cannot stand. But when you unify, can I use my illustration real quick? Real quick. Come here. Good. It's that pause that always worries me. So here's what happens. Who are you around the most in your life right now? Me. He's around me a whole lot. And we're going to work one morning, Jason, and he's over there. He's about to go to sleep, and I'm starting to listen to some preaching, and he's laying over there, and he opens his eyes. I said, dude, you can go to sleep. He said, no, I'm kind of interested. So he stays awake and listens to the whole rest of the sermon. Being around me is a good thing. I'm not proud. I'm saying, man, hey, God's good. I love preaching. I love God. I love praying. It's good. It's good. But you know what the devil wants to do is drive a wedge between us. He wants to find a reason. If you don't believe this, I've seen this in my own life. I've seen the enemy come in and drive a wedge and make somebody I love think something totally different about me. You know why he does that? Because he knows if he can get him over here. And there's distance. Then the enemy has a better chance if he gets you over here. So this is what the enemy does. He tries to get you, well, you don't need those people. You don't really need those people at those church anyhow. You don't even need church, really. You can get to heaven without church. My question is, if the church is the body of Christ, how can you love Christ and not love his body? Right? That's kind of crazy, ain't it? You got to love him completely. And if we're the body, we're an imperfect body, but we're his body. So here's what happens. If you out here, he's got you. Come here, Andrew. Pull him over there. My, there's no resistance at all. He's just like, take me, devil. Just take me. Come on, I've taught you a little bit more than that. Fight a little bit. Take him. No, no, fight a little bit. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to divide. Now come over here. Now these, get up. This is the church. And let me tell you something about church. No, this is the church. Church. I tell you, he's a boss in the mind. The first thing you did is put your hands in your pockets. I'm kidding. All right, so here's what happens. The church is unified. I said the church is unified. This is what the devil can't stand. When we worship together, when we got one mind, when we study together, when we pray together, the devil can't stand that because there's unity in that. Now, if you join yourself to this body, how many bodies are there? One body. One body. Now come and get him. It's a different story. It's a different story now. I'm going to tell you, when you get unified, this enemy doesn't have a chance to pull you away because you're in the body. How hard did you try? No, if you pulled his arm out of socket, I got to pay the deductible. Thank you. Thank you. Unity is important. God knew this. So he says, don't sow discord among the brethren. Let me give you some really good teaching, some really godly teaching. If you hear somebody talking about your brother, don't join in. That's good stuff. You know why? Because we need to be unified. If you think your brother has been caught in a fall, pray for him. Why run him down? Why would we do that? As brothers and sisters in Christ, if we let them go, they could be in trouble. Am I preaching right? Because the enemy, hey, am I saying, oh, you'll lose yourself? I'm telling you this, the enemy gets you off by yourself. He can talk a lot more to you than when you're around us. Why? Because when we're together, there's something that takes place in the church that doesn't take place when you're alone. I can't explain it. I can't really describe it. But I do know this. The Spirit starts moving in the church because he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And a three-fold cord is not easily broken. Right? Back to Ephesians 4, and I got to hurry. What time is it? How long have I been up? Well, what we got, Shane? 36 minutes already? Wow. I got 2 minutes. One God and Father, all is above all and through all and in y'all, but it's you, everyone, has given the grace according to the measure of the grace of the gift of God. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up. All right, I won't do that way. Scripture's way more important than that. Take me back real quick. I got a couple minutes. I want to finish this. He said, there's one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Let me say it again. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. If you are a believer, we've got the same Father. If you are a believer, we got the same Spirit. If you are a believer, we got the same God. If you are a believer, there is only one Lord. There is one faith. There is only one baptism. Yes. Oh, baptism. Are you kidding me, preacher? But the Baptist said I had to be fully submerged. Had to be completely taken under. The Baptists, they're Baptists. Get it? But the Lutherans told me that I just had to be sprinkled. I heard a story of two churches that were trying to merge and they ran into this problem. How do we baptize? We believe in full underwater, and y'all believe in sprinkling. The last I heard, they was trying to come up with a grandfathered in clause. Think about that. Well, if you were already sprinkled before we came together, you're good. It's amazing that we can get caught up on some of the finer details, right? But if there's only one baptism, this must be talking about a different kind of baptism, because there can't be two baptisms. So what is the most important baptism that he could be talking about here? It's not about your sprinkling or you being put in water. He's talking about a baptism that changes you from the old man to the new man, and that's imperative. That you're baptized into the Spirit. Am I right? Do I believe there's a greater revelation of baptism? Yes. Do I believe some people don't hold that revelation and God's not going to hold it? Yes, I believe that. Don't get nervous on me. One body. Universal, worldwide. One body. Come on, musicians. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be a section over here. Could you imagine that? You get to heaven, it's like, what denomination was you? Well, we were non-denominational. You know, somebody told me non-denominational is a denomination. Really? Oh, so you're in the denomination, non-denominational. Yeah, yeah. If you want to call it a denomination, yeah. What are you? Scripturalists that want to keep the unity of the Spirit so that God can move through his body? Is that important? It's important, ain't it, Kevin? Because we got people that are arguing about, should the church be evangelistic or should it be saint-centered? I'm going to tell you right now, I think the church should be extremely saint-centered. You know why? Because the saints become evangelistic when they're fed right. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, and then I'll convert sinners unto thee. When I'm right, I'm on fire. Listen, any questions? Listen to this. It is very important that you understand you have a ministry. You have a ministry. I'm going to say it again until I get enough amens. I feel good about it. You have a ministry. Amen. Not quite. You have a ministry. Amen. It's getting better. Y'all getting louder. I don't know if more people are coming on board or y'all just getting louder, but it's feeling better. You have a ministry. Amen. It's the church's job to equip you for the ministry. So when you come in and you're blessed, you go out blessed, and then you begin to do the work of your ministry. And people look at you and they say, there's something different about them, and I got to figure out what it is. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the Holy Ghost down inside of you that they recognize they need it. And you walk around, preacher, preach, past 40 minutes last night. It's ridiculous. I had to get home and my flowers needed watered. And it's just, and they're like, man, praise the Lord, sister. Church gets on my nerves. And then we have invite a friend week. Would you like to come? Mm-mm, no way. You have a ministry. Keep the unity of the Spirit. This is good teaching. We're not going to shout on this, but this is good stuff. Because it's important, Zach. We're going to sing a song. What are we going to sing? I don't know what he said, but we're going to sing it anyway. Let's stand up so I'll quit talking. We're going to unify. We're going to unify. We're going to unify. You know, there was a day when people needed prayer that they would ask people with unbelief to step out of the room because they wanted unity. That's how important unity was. I'm not going to ask you to leave. I'm just saying that's what they used to do. But I'm going to challenge to do this. We need to become unified right now. Darren's mom's in the hospital, and she's not doing very good. He's not here tonight because he's with her in Charleston. And we're going to have prayer for her, and we're going to unify together, and we're going to pray to the same God. And we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. Because that gives us access to the throne. Come on, Tracy, if you would, stand in. Stand in for Joanne. Man, this is of extreme importance. Because you know what, Christy?